Welcome to our Friday edition of Through Science to Health with yours truly, Chris Ricker, and co-host Lynn Sorensen, public health advocate, virus watch team member here at KPTZ, and also part of our emergency response team here at the station. We're here on alternate Fridays during the noon hour, and we bring you discussion and updates surrounding the pandemic and review some of the current insights in the journey of discovery. And boy, is it some discovery, eh? Surrounding COVID-19. Lynn Sorensen, welcome once again to Through Science to Health, my wonderful, wonderful co-host.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
Well, we always want to say what a week, don't we? But here's another one. I know that Dr. Locke had a lot to say in his most recent report. Maybe you could give us a bit of a recap there.
Okay, and this is from Monday, the 5th of April. Dr. Locke says that, you know, nationwide, we're not doing that well because we're up 18% in new cases and still running about 64,000 cases a day in the U.S. Says the number may be higher, but testing is way down. So he's a bit concerned about that. He said he mostly was up in that Michigan was a hot spot and also up in the Northeast, and that they're possibly more dominated by the variants, which he says are 50 to 70% more contagious than our original novel coronavirus. And that's especially the UK variant. It's affecting younger people, and we're getting more people hospitalized that are in their 40s to 50s. It's more contagious, therefore it's spreading quickly, and they're trying to get the variant or the genetic sequencing testing done more so, but it's very expensive to do that. So it's, again, it's random testing. And I don't believe we have had any found here in Jefferson County, but there are variants popping up all over. California apparently has its own right now, which is not as severe as far as disease, but again, more contagious. He thinks that possibly the increased number of 40 and 50 year olds that are hospitalized is a consequence that the older populations have now been vaccinated.
Lynn, a lot of people are wondering if, what does that mean now? With a highly contagious virus and people are hospitalized, what happens when they go in there? Are they as severely as affected as the older population was?
I'm not sure. I would think that they're generally more healthy and might have a better immune response in some ways. I don't know that the deaths have been going up at such a rate. I think those are down, although certainly people are still dying across the country. But I don't know how that plays out in the hospital. That'd be something that we could look into. Just the fact that it's more contagious leads me to say you're going to have to wear your mask even though you're vaccinated, because that's a question we still haven't had answered as far as whether or not those that have been vaccinated can infect others. And I can get to that a little bit later in the program.
I want to let our listeners know that in a couple of weeks, we'll actually be talking with Dr. Joe Mattern at Jefferson Healthcare. He'll be giving us a sort of a progress report, and maybe he can give us more of an informed insider's view of what's happening now.
Although I don't think there's been any hospitalizations of COVID patients here at Jefferson Healthcare. In the county itself, it's given over 23,000 doses of vaccine. And that's Pfizer and Moderna, and now most recently Johnson & Johnson. And I think that's going to be the first clinic. They're going to hold a pop-up clinic out in Quilcene this weekend. It's a small clinic. That'll be using Johnson & Johnson. So it's the one-and-done vaccine, as they're calling it, because it's only one dose.
Lynn, we were driving, you know, the drive-through coffee, and ran into a barista there. Not that I'm driving through coffee stands all the time, but way of treating ourselves, I guess is what it is. But anyway, going through there, he made a comment, just sort of a quip about, we got to talking about shots, and that seems to be the first thing out of people's mouths these days in conversations, is, or at least maybe the second or third thing is, have you gotten your shot yet? And, you know, what kind of shot and this and that, and how did you feel after the second one if you didn't get the only one, the one? He says part of the vacolite.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then, seems that
so
way.
It's really dangerous for me because then we start going back and forth with puns and applicable names. Vacnocenti. What else? What else have we come up with? We came up with a lot of them. But I think the point that I'm trying to make is that there's some confusion now about mask wearing and under what circumstances and all the rest of it. I know that people are making a great deal of assumptions about who they can interact with and under what circumstances, and maybe a little bit of clarification coming from you and Dr. Locke about that.
Essentially, those that are vaccinated can meet together, you know, inside, that are fully vaccinated, meaning 2 weeks after your last vaccination. No masking or social distancing is required. And that's also apparently true for if you're in a household or meeting with people that are not at high risk for severe disease, such as children or maybe a young, you know, a teenager, et cetera. Although I'm not sure how clear that is. I know that masking is not over and that even though you've been vaccinated, masks are still required in public and going into stores, et cetera. And this in part is because of the variants, because those are even more contagious and that they have been testing. They've got a number of studies going on that they're doing nasal swabs of those that have been vaccinated. And Dr. Locke did say that after your first dose, your risk for transmitting the virus is down to 80% coverage. And after two doses, you've decreased the risk by 90%. But there have been some current studies testing, say, healthcare workers, and this was down in California, where they, again, found four out of over 8,000 fully vaccinated hospital employees became infected, you know, and there was a doctor that was saying, hey, I thought I was protected, but he came down with a somewhat, you know, he had to quarantine or isolate for 2 weeks, but it actually had the disease. And then another study that showed that 7 out of 14,000 workers tested positive in 2+ weeks after receiving the vaccine. So vaccinated people are not invincible, especially when the virus is circulating widely. So please do continue to wear your mask. And I would say over on the I-5 corridor in particular, because of the variants there, and they even recommend double masking at that point. So don't toss those masks away, keep them clean and do continue to use them. And the stores and businesses are still requiring people to come in masked. It's very important that the community does that.
What are your feelings about indoor dining at the moment?
I'm not going to do it. I think eating outside is fine as long as it's warm enough or getting takeout. But no, I'm not ready to go into a restaurant. And although they haven't found that there's particularly a lot of outbreaks from restaurants, it's still something that I'm going to wait on.
The other subject of discussion that has come up are the vaccination of kids, young adults and kids. And there's discussion and controversy about that as well.
Yeah, but that is being studied. And they are working, all the vaccine manufacturers are studying this. Pfizer, I think, is ahead of the game. And they are finding that in their studies so far that it was the Pfizer vaccine was 100% effective for 12 to 15-year-olds. And last week, they started on trials of 4,500 children, 6 months to 11 years to test it. Moderna is also enrolling over 6,000 children, 6 months to 12 years. And Johnson & Johnson is also working on their own. Now, Pfizer is the only one that can be given to those either 16 and 17. Moderna and Johnson & Johnson are for 18 and up at this point. So I think that we will see vaccine for children, and I don't know when that will happen, but I know it's certainly a goal, and especially for like the next school year.
Now the state is opening up and the feds are opening up. What's the difference?
Well, the state, at least here in Washington state, the governor says April 15th is a date when no more eligibility requirements are going to be posted, no more tiers, no more confusion. It's open for all adults, and I'm assuming that's 16 and up for those getting Pfizer, and it would be 18 and up for those getting Moderna or Johnson & Johnson. And then Biden has proclaimed that as of April 19th, that he wants to encourage all states to open up to vaccines for all adults. So this is going to be a huge unfolding. I saw Mayor Durkin in Seattle interviewed, you know, she says, we've got the infrastructure. We can give the shots. We just need the vaccine. So it's still a process of getting the vaccine to the distribution points out to all the people that can give them. And there's a lot of systems involved where the federal government has to talk to the state and then the state has to distribute, and there's all these different communication systems in between. There's a lot of obstacles, but you know, it's a moving target and everyone will have to be patient. I mean, I'm hopeful that we can really get the ball rolling with vaccinations.
Looking back over the past year, on one hand, you could say, oh, it was just a year. And on the other hand, you could say that was just the longest year in existence.
Yeah.
You know, at least from our point of view. It's so complicated. I mean, just making the wheels turn, and then every state has its own bureaucratic personality, if right. I maybe that's a good way to describe it.
And politics.
And politics. And so then that means, you know, the federal efforts translated into the state efforts for distribution, vaccination supply, and all the rest of that stuff. I really feel for our neighbors north of the border and Canada. South of the border, but up in Canada, they don't have any manufacturing capability up there.
Right.
And so they're way behind the ball on trying to get the vaccine out. So it's quite the effort, and it's going to demand a lot of patience on our part.
Yes. And we are very lucky to have this accessibility to the vaccine. Again, something that Dr. Locke was saying is, you know, you can't protect yourself with your ideology. So, you know, we can't expect possibly another wave just because we have these new variants that are more infectious, and that people are considering, you know, getting rid of their masks. And I think masking should be seen as a form of civic responsibility, that it's important to wear them.
Wearing or not wearing a mask as a symbol of freedom. I was reading a recent newsletter that it doesn't mean that responsibility isn't one of the key issues here. Mm-hmm. And that takes maybe a more of a global look, a wider look at what we're trying to do and how we're trying to do it and what the effect is. If we just hang in there just a little bit longer so that we can mitigate some of the things that are happening, especially with the variants.
Right. Something I'd like to explore in the future in our program is, I know that the feds are financing all the vaccine, and so we're getting that free. I mean, who's paying for all the setup, like Jefferson Healthcare? How they, you know, are they getting any monies from anywhere for their incredible service of vaccinating the public along with the health department? So I'm not sure quite how to get that data, but I'd like to find out more about that.
Well, I think our conversation with Dr. Mattern coming up.
Yeah, that might be.
Because he's actually in charge of the logistics for distribution of the vaccine. And he is obviously in close touch with everything else having to do with distribution, you know, other entities and everything else. And of course, interweaving ourselves with other outlets in the county, other pharmacies and so on. It's unfolding. What was the last time we said that? I think we've said that every other
every
week for
week
a year.
Is something, or every time we
everything
do
is unfolding. But if there's one thing that you could kind of pass along to our listeners as a word of encouragement right now, what would it be?
I'd say just hang in there, be patient, consider others and your own family's protection, and do continue to wear masks. We just have to carry on, because it's not over yet.
Lynn Sorensen, thank you as always. This has been another edition of Through Science to Health with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and co-host Lynn Sorensen. On Alternative Fridays, we join you at the noon hour, and we bring you discussion and updates surrounding the pandemic and review some of the current insights and journey of discovery surrounding COVID-19. Thank you, Lynn. See you in 2 weeks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Our theme music for Through Science to Health is Things with Wings, composed and performed by Liz Story on Windham Hill Records. Did you know that KPTZ 91.9 FM radio in Port Townsend is celebrating our first decade on the air? We're looking back, and we're also looking ahead to what's next. 2021 marks our 10-year anniversary, and it's also a year when we move into our new studios at Fort Worden's Makers Square. We'll be celebrating our achievements and sharing the vision for the future during a week-long on-air celebration running Thursday, May 13th through Wednesday, May 19th. Reaching out to our community is the most important thing we can do, and you are our family. Whether it's through Science to Health, Community Tides, our working waterfront, Compass, or so much more of our unique programming, it's our goal to continue a vibrant relationship with our KPTZ listeners. Tune in for a special week that centers around special programming on May 14th, our official birthday, with interviews and giveaways all week. On May 14th, longtime KPTZ programming guru Larry Stein is planning a four-hour live feature when we'll blow out candles, speak with our founders, look ahead and to the present. We'll also feature the City of Fort Townsend's KPTZ Radio Day Proclamation. Now, as well as then, we'll also be asking for your support. Join us and find out what's next for your local community radio station. It's easy. Just go to kptz.org and find that friendly donate button. You can't miss it. Take a moment right now to express your love for KPTZ. And thank you.